Neuju.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet, they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.
Spoštovano poslušalstvo, lepo pozdravljeni pri poslušanju današnje južne hemisfere. Povod za današnjo oddajo je nekako prvi vrsti globalni indeks suženstva, ki ga je pred kratkim izdala avstralska organizacija z imenom Free Walk Foundation. V okviru tega in v okviru zakonitosti te oddaje južne hemisfere bomo več časa posvetili Katarju. Tam se s polno paro gradi vsa potrebna infrastruktura za potrebe svetovnega nogometnega prvenstva, ki se ima v isti državi zgoditi v letu 2022. Devet let pred slovesno otvoritvijo je prišlo na plano dejstvo, da v eni izmed najbogatejših držav na svetu in za potrebe ena najbogatejših organizacij na svetu, torej samo organizatorko prvenstva FIFA, vso potrebno infrastrukturo gradijo sužnji. To so predvsem migrantski delavci, ki prihajajo iz države pod Himalajo z imenom Nepal. Iz vseh teh naštetih razlogov smo poklicali Montija Narayana Datto. On je soavtor globalnega indeksa suženstva 2013, Aidina McQuaida, direktorja Anti-Slavery Organization s sedežem v Londonu, in pa tudi Igorja E. Berganta, dolgoletnega športnega novinarja na RTV Slovenija. Začeli bomo z soavtorjem globalnega indeksa suženstva Monti Narayanan Datta. On je to delo raziskoval poslednjih 10 let. Oni so ta indeks izdali pred kratkim ven. Prikazal pa je, da ne bi v celotnem svetu se danes nahajalo, delalo, bivalo okoli 30 milijonov sužnjev, med drugim v Sloveniji 7 tisoč. Govori Monti Datta.
The Global Slavery Index is the first of its kind. And basically it is, as best as we can, a quantitative assessment of the estimated number of enslaved today and a quantitative assessment of the risk factors that go into predicting those number of enslaved. The intellectual godfather of the anti-slavery movement, Dr. Kevin Bales, who is the lead author, and I, we put together the empirical portions of the data set basically over the past year. And essentially, the factors that went into the estimated number of enslaved were based on, one, secondary sources that were collected painstakingly over time by Dr. Bales, and two, more recent random sample surveys that he and I incorporated and included in those secondary sources to come up with the estimated number of slaves by country for the 162 countries in the Global Slavery Index. In terms of the risk factors, Dr. Bales and I spent roughly the past year where we would seek out as best as we can those measures that we felt would be predictive of the number of enslaved. And we broke down those risk measures by several different categories. risk to slavery policy, risk to human rights, risk to development rights, risk to state stability, and risk to discrimination. So this is essentially an effort that we spent the past year working over. But that said, we want to be very clear that because this is the first empirical, publicly available assessment of modern-day slavery, this is not a perfect number. This is our best estimate thus far. And there's really one main reason for that. You know, when you try to estimate the number of enslaved today, that is a hidden crime. And around the world today, whenever you have hidden crimes, you often have an underreported number of incidents of that crime. Let me give you an example. Here in the United States, where I live and work, a very common and tragic problem is the issue of rape. And there's a very high number of underreported rapes versus the actual number of rapes. Likewise, around the world today, because slavery is a hidden criminal activity, the actual reported number of incidents of slavery is dramatically lower than the actual estimated number. So basically, the Global Slavery Index is trying as best as it can to publish and disseminate knowledge of what we estimate the number of slaves to be, but as we start with next year for the 2014 Global Slavery Index, we'll be commissioning more country random sample surveys to try to get more and more deeply at that hidden number. So it's a remarkable challenge to try to estimate a hidden crime that is often part of criminal activity. But essentially, that's a little bit of the information of how we use to calculate some of the figures for the Global Slavery Index.
Omenjeno obširno poročilo izhaja iz precej težavnostne definicije suženjstva v današnjem svetu. Iz česa so avtori izhajali in katera so osnovna ter pa tudi sekundarna izhodišča tega indeksa, odgovarja Monty Data.
It's really interesting when we consider legal definitions of slavery, international organization definitions, the spirit of the core definition that we've tried to use for the Global Slavery Index is the experience of enslavement. And our rule of thumb is, if you are under threat of violence, if you're tricked or forced or coerced into a situation, whether it's forced labor, domestic servitude, sex trafficking, if you're in a situation where you cannot walk away, that's essentially how we conceive of slavery, from that experiential perspective. And it's something that I think, is potentially something that could affect any of us. Many immigrants, you know, when they hear of a job overseas, for example, if you're in somewhere in Eastern Europe, and if you look in the newspaper and you see a job advertisement to be a waitress or something at a bar in Western Europe, you know, because economic times are difficult, you might be tempted to go over. But then once you're brought over to that job somewhere, say in Western Europe or the United States, and you realize that once your passport is taken away and you're under threat of violence, you might find yourself in a situation of enslavement. And I think this is something that can happen to anybody, just based on the hope to go to another country to find a better life. So it's something that we're hoping that by shining a light on these numbers with the estimated number of enslaved, we can generate more of a global discussion and provide more awareness of this issue, which is really the first step towards its eventual eradication.
Yes, these are quite difficult questions. Can you maybe talk to me more so that we can get a more appropriate picture of this index? Can you talk to me more about the indications used for this
for this global slavery index. By this I mean the conditions, you know, like bound labor and similar.
The core focus is to include any example of slavery that falls under that rule of thumb of being under force, fraud, or coercion, brought to a situation and unable to get away by threat of violence. So that rule of thumb includes bonded labor. It includes, for example, families in India that might spend more than one generation that are under bonded labor to make bricks, for example, by hand, and doing that in a situation where you have a parent who is doing this for a living and their children grow up under bonded labor and they go ahead and produce these bricks, they might be living in a situation where they don't even realize they're in slavery. But whether it's bonded labor or forced marriage or sex trafficking, we try to stay with that rule of thumb for our definition of including these different examples of slavery.
Kot rečeno in tudi slišano, je suženstvo v današnjem sodobnem svetu še vedno zelo močno prisotno. Govorili smo z Aidanom McQuaidom iz organizacije Anti-Slavery, ki je bila ustanovljena leta 1839, in kot smo iz pogovora zvedeli, organizacija nima danes prav nič manj dela, kot ga je imela sredi 19. stoletja. Torej, poslušajmo Aidana.
The ILO estimates that there's a minimum of 21 million people in slavery today. The Walk Free Index estimates around 30. The Walk Free Index includes much more explicitly child marriage as part of that, so that might explain the discrepancy there. But there's a lot of people who are in appalling forms of slavery across the world. And while we do tend to have the sense that it is illegal in most places, there's significant parts of the world, particularly the Gulf states, and Uzbekistan, where slavery is either something which is still instituted and undertaken by the state, or where law is put in place in order to facilitate slavery being undertaken by private individuals.
Can you tell me maybe, Mr. McQuaid, what does slavery today actually constitute? What does it mean to be a slave today, and what everything includes being a slave today?
When we talk about slavery, we're talking about practices which are identified by three international conventions: the 1926 Slavery Convention, the 1934 Slavery Convention, and the 1956 Supplementary Convention on Slavery. Now, within that narrow definition of terms, that's when we come up with a figure of millions of people enslaved. And a useful working definition comes from the 1930 Convention on Forced Labor, where it describes forced labor as all work or service extracted under menace of some form of penalty for which the person has not offered themselves voluntarily and for which they receive little or no pay. So if you look across the practices relating to construction workers in Qatar, working on World Cup infrastructure and in other parts of the Gulf, you can see that this forms very clearly forced labor under those definitions. And if you look at the way in which people are used up and cast aside as little more than objects, oftentimes resulting in their death, this is suggesting very strongly the slavery of old, where people were treated as nothing more than chattels.
Približno na sredini oddaje bomo malo več časa posvetili suženstvu, malo definiciji suženstva in podobno. Suženstvo je torej družbena ureditev, v kateri posameznik sužen je lastnina drugega posameznika, gospodarja. Ekonomija starih civilizacij je temeljila predvsem na delu sužnjev, medtem ko naj bi danes delavec bil deležen cele palete ter do izborjenih si pravic. Težava je v tem, ker le te pogosto niso implementirane. Sužnje, lastniško razmerje in izkoriščene delavce so sicer dve različni metodi proizvajanja osebne dobrobiti, a imajo vendarle številne podobnosti. Ko imaš recimo ti kot delodajalec nekdo kot mogočni gradbinec, zaposlenega delavca, kateremu plačuješ ravno toliko, da se on lahko privošči kruh in mleko, da ne pogine, imaš zaposlenega sužnja, mar ne? Kje je razlika? Odgovarja Aidan McQuaid.
What you describe certainly is labor exploitation. I don't know if it's slavery or forced labor. I'd need to have more information on that. If there is, for example, an option for a person to change jobs, that can suggest it's less than forced labor. If there's no threat of violence, that can again suggest less than forced labor. So you need to look at the constellation of abuses that people are working under. Low pay is not enough to define slavery. You should be looking at also things like restriction of movement, threat of violence, threat of deportation. And if these sort of factors are in place, then you start to see the probability that what you're describing is forced labor.
And the exploitation of laborers and workers working in slave conditions, it's probably still a big difference.
Yes, we'd make a distinction. It obviously is a blurred line between exploitation and forced labor, but we would still think it's important to make that difference between exploitation and forced labor, where you have a significant degree more freedom within an exploitative situation than you do have within a forced labor situation.
Svetovni indeks suženstva 2013 je pokazal na številne primere sužnje lastniških razmerij po vsem svetu. V današnji oddaji, ki se torej imenuje Južna hemisfera, bomo več časa posvetili Katarju. Prvič zato, ker je to ena izmed najbogatejših držav na svetu in drugič zato, ker tam gradijo stadion na namen svetovnega rokometnega prvenstva 2022. Celotna zadeva se gradi po sistemu gospodar sužen, več v samem dogajanju v Katarju nam pove Aidan McQuaid.
I agree with you completely. It is it's a terrible indictment, and I'm sure most football fans and football players across the world would agree that. And there's no reason this has to be the case. If FIFA was to say to Qatar, sort out the system with which you're employing people, specifically give them freedom of association, abolish the sponsorship system for visas, institute a minimum wage, and institute an international standard of monitoring safety and health on construction sites, you could see a transformation there from forced labor into decent work. And that's something which is what ordinary Nepalese, Indian, Bangladeshi workers are looking for, the opportunity work their way out of poverty for themselves and their families.
Again, they've been presented, these Nepalese workers, with no chance of their own. I mean, what should the worldwide public do to help them?
I mean, I would hope that ordinary citizens, ordinary football fans across the world would start writing to their national organization and saying, this disgusts us. We want to see an end to this. We want to see the opportunity for decent work for construction workers to the World Cup. And if that is not provided, Qatar should have the World Cup removed from it. And we should be looking at this within the next 6 months. There's no reason, because most of the reasons for forced labor are in the legal code of Qatar. There's no reason that those cannot be removed by the government immediately.
Old pirates, yes, they rob I, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation, triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs. All I ever had, redemption songs. These songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
Kaj torej storiti v navezavi sužnji v Katarju? Najbolje nekak je izvajati pritisk na FIFO, kot tudi na katarsko vlado. Sam pritisk obstaja, tudi vprašanje, kako glasen in prodoren je. Ozavedanje res prinaša napredek, vendar ne rešuje problemov. Kako potencijalno rešitev vidi Monty Dutton?
I think the first thing to do in acknowledging the problem of modern day slavery is by shining a light on it. And what we're hoping to do with the Walk Free Global Slavery Index is shine the brightest light yet on the issue of modern day slavery. The only way to end the problem with slavery is by letting people know about it. And so we're very optimistic and very hopeful with this index that by making this information public, we're taking a step, an important step in the right direction of ending slavery.
V oddaji smo se obrnili tudi na FIFO, ki pa sicer v izjave v audio obliki nismo dobili, so se pa na nas obrnili v pisni izjavi in opisali svoj pogled na gradnjo objektov v namen svetovnega prvenstva strani sužnjo. Citiramo.
FIFA is very concerned about the reports presented by the media regarding labor rights abuses and the conditions for construction workers in projects at Lusail City, Qatar. FIFA will again get in contact with the Qatari authorities, and the matter was also discussed at the Executive Committee meeting on the 3rd and the 4th November 2013 in Zurich.
Konec navedka. Ker smo v okviru kratkega pogleda v svetovno suženstvo fokus usmerili na Katar in na gradnjo infrastrukture za svetovno prvenstvo nogometu 2022, bomo slednjemu, torej nogometu, namenili še malce več prostora. Šport je velik biznis in v njem je sužnje lastništvo močno prisotno, ne samo v gradnji športnih objektov, ampak tudi med neposrednimi akterji samimi. Govorili smo z dolgoletnim športnim novinarjem Igorjem E. Bergantom, poznavalcem razmer. Kako Bergant vidi situacijo v Katarju?
To je pač ena zelo velika svinjarija in to je pač nekaj, kar si človeštvo absolutno ne bi smelo privoščiti. Ne. Se pa žal dogaja, dogaja se povsod, ne dogaja se samo v Katarju, dogaja se tudi v Evropi na mogoče malce drugačen način, čeprav si ti načini postajajo če dalje bolj podobni, ampak zdaj to seveda nikogar ne odvezuje, ne, odgovornosti. Zdaj, kar se nogometa tiče, pač Katar je zdaj res v zadnjih letih zelo na očeh, predvsem nogometne javnosti, na eni strani zaradi svetovnega prvenstva, po drugi strani pa tudi zato, ker recimo, ne, lastniki trenutno enega izmed najbogatejših klubov na svetu, Paris Saint-Germain, so poslovneži iz Katarja, Katarci so tudi, pač ena fundacija je prvi sponzor sploh v zgodovini FC Barcelone, ki je dobil svoje mesto na dresih tega kluba. Ne. Tako da pač Katarci zaradi tega bogatstva, predvsem zaradi plina, ne, igrajo zelo eno pomembno vlogo, ampak to, ne, kar so si pa privošli v zvezi z svetovnim nogometnim prvenstvom, je pa absolutno nedopustno, pri čemer je pa treba vedeti, da se pa takšni postopki, ne, pri izkoriščanju delavcev pa dogaja povsod in ne samo v nogometu, ampak mislim, da je pač nogomet tak šport in FIFA tudi takšna organizacija, ki bi seveda morala precej bolje premisliti o tem, kdaj komu podeli pravico do prvenstva.
V športu je sicer skrb za mravlje v ozadju milo rečeno slaba, gradnja športnih objektov so na samem prestolu izkoriščanje ljudi. Še najbolj sporno pa je dejstvo, da so le ti grajeni za ogromne sote denarja in tudi za kasnejše velike prihodke. Nadaljuje Bergant.
No, gledajte, mislim, situacija je pač taka na splošno v športu, ne, recimo tudi v Mednarodnem olimpijskem komiteju, kjer mimo grede sem to pač sam videl v Pekingu, ko so gradili objekte za olimpijske igre leta 2008, ne, so bile razmere na gradbiščih katastrofalne. Sem takrat prvič videl dejansko neke bose delavce, ki so stanovali v teh velikih bojnikih modrih, ne, se jim je to zdelo nepredstavljivo. Ne. Zdaj nekaj je zanimivo, ne. Dve leti kasneje sem takšne zabojnike, ne sicer z bosimi gradbenimi delavci, videl v središču Ljubljane, ko so obnavljali kongresni trg. Vemo, kaj se je dogajalo pri gradni stožiškega štadiona in dvorane. Ne. Mislim, kot rečeno, to so ene stvari, ki se absolutno ne bi smele dogajati. Ne. Je pa seveda res, da kapital, ne, ki se vrti okrog naftnega bogatstva in tudi pač teh plinskih zalog, ne, če dalje močnejšo vlogo igra v športu. Ne. En izmed najvplivnejših članov Mednarodnega olimpijskega komiteja je en kuvajtski šejk, ki sicer zaradi svoje preteklosti, ker je bil tudi šef tajne službe, nikoli ne bo mogel dobiti nekih visokih funkcij v olimpijskem gibanju. Je pa izjemno vpliven. Ne. Enako velja tudi za mednarodno nogometno zvezo, ki je izjemno močna, ki obrača zelo denarja. Pač to so ljudje, ki imajo vpliv in zagotavljajo pač tem mednarodnim zvezam tudi ogromno prihodkov. Ne. In je pač to ena stvar, ki se nihče ne želi ogniti. Ne. Je pa zdaj seveda pa veliko vprašanje, kaj lahko pa drugi, ne, ki ta vpliv dejansko konzumirajo, ne, kako lahko vplivajo na ta okolje, da enostavno si ne privoščijo tega, kar je nesprejemljivo. Ne. Ampak žal se pač tako vrti naš svet na vseh področjih. Ne. Vsej, ko mi v Sloveniji zdaj razglabljamo o tem, kako bi bilo pametno odpreti naše tržišče za tuje vlagatelje, ali pa bi bilo pač dobro naveza trgovinske stike z drugimi državami, s katerimi doslej jih nismo imeli. Ne. Sej, na kakšne države pa se tukaj naslavljamo. Ne, na pač takšne, kjer so te, kjer so te kršitve žal zelo pogoste, ampak problem je seveda še dodatni, ker so te kršitve pogoste še, če dalje bolj pogoste, seveda tudi v Evropi. Ne, ampak to je nek začaran krog, iz katerega je zelo težko izstopiti, se pa da seveda na ta problem opozarjati na tak učinkovit način, kot je to počel Guardian. In na nek način je, ne, če smo malce cinični, celo, v bistvu zelo dobro, da se je to zgodilo ravno ob pričakovanju svetovnega prvenstva v nogometu, ker če recimo Katar ne bi imel svetovnega prvenstva v nogometu, ne, se verjetno ta zgodba nikoli ne bi tako zapletla, kot se je, ne, s tem razkritjem, in zdaj si zagotovo pač ne more več privoščiti delati na ta način.
Z Igorjem Bergantom smo spregovorili tudi o fuzbolu samem, tako imenovana najpomembnejša prostranska stvar na svetu v zadnjih 20-ih ali pa celo več let, proizvaja ogromne profite in plačuje svoje najpomembnejše gladiatorje z milijonskimi mesečnimi plačami. Tisti manj pomembni imajo dovolj, da pridejo skozi, spremljevalci in podporniki pa imajo kruha in igr. Čeravno cene vstopnic na evropskih nogometnih igriščih niso prijazne delovskim denarnicam, nadaljuje Igor Ebregant.
Jaz mislim, da kar se nogometa tiče, je situacija taka, da je to pač eden izmed teh mehurčkov, ki bo slej ko prej počel. Ne. Stvar je nevzdržna, mislim, ti milijoni, ki se vrtijo, so na nek način virtualni milijoni, ne, ker so pač v bistvu sposojeni od kasnejših generacij, ne, tudi pač vse te velike televizijske pogodbe, ne, so v bistvu generirane z nekim denarjem, ki ga še ni, ne, in to seveda je ta problem, o katerem sem govoril na začetku, da se pač zdaj ta nek nemogoč sistem vzdržuje z nekim svežim kapitalom, ki prihaja iz teh, po domače rečeno, robnih okolij, ne, Abu Dhabijska nafta in Manchester City, katarski milijoni in Paris Saint-Germain in Barcelona in tako naprej. Jaz mislim, da bo ta stvar počla. Moram reči, da sem zelo, zelo prijetno presenečen recimo nad ljudmi, kot je Michel Platini, ki dejansko razmišlja bolj recimo temu socialno. Ne? Jaz mislim, da to ni samo poza. Ne? On dejansko pa z nekimi mini reformami poskuša stvari peljati v malce drugačno smer, ampak jaz mislim, da je eno izmed ključnih zadev rekel Zlatan Ibrahimović na zadnjem intervjuju za Spiegel, ne, ki je rekel, da seveda se njemu zdi popolnoma noro, da ima konkretno on tako plačo. Ne. Ampak zdaj seveda on ni nor in ni neumen in tudi sam je krval pod kožo in zdaj, če obstajajo na svetu, bom kar uporabil besedo, idioti, ki so mu pač pripravljeni tako plačo dati, jo on seveda vzame, ne, si pa seveda misli svoje, ne, in on je pripravljen to zelo jasno in glasno povedati in to je to, ne, sej on bi verjetno nogomet igral tudi za tisočkrat manj, pa bi še vedno zaslužil bistveno več kot nek poprečen zemljan, ne, ampak dokler so pač na tem svetu in nogomete samo pač nek približek sveta, seveda takšni ljudje, ki so se pripravljeni na ta način norčevati ne samo iz samega sebe, ampak tudi iz človeštva, ne, je pač to tako. Ne. Zakaj bi bil pač Ibrahimović prvi, ki bi rekel ne bom tega denarja vzel, ampak bom pač igral za toliko manj. Ampak to je problem. Ne. Ampak kot rečeno, jaz mislim, da je to nek milni mehurček, ki se bo zelo hitro razblinil in bo potem nogomet tudi precej drugačen čez, ne vem, 10, 15, 20 let, ker bo svet drugačen, ker enostavno v takšni obliki in na takšen način preprosto nima obstanka. Slaves.
Mnenje avtorjev daje je, da je nedopustno, da spremljamo gradnjo sodobnih kolosejev na plečih sodobnih sužnjev, kruha in igr še enkrat več, nočmo več nazaj. Ne potrebujemo Mojzesa, zgolj zdrav razum in malce empatije, pa mogoče tudi jeze. Ti trije faktori bi morali biti dovolj, da popeljajo katarske sužnje skozi puščavo v dostojnejši in boljši jutri, zaključuje director anti-slavery organization, Aidan McQuaid.
I think the only other thing I'd say is that we don't have to accept slavery. We shouldn't accept slavery in the world. It's a human institution. It can be changed by human action. But we've all closed our eyes to the fact that it's going on today all over the place.
Južno hemisfero sodobnih sužnjih sem pripravil Mare, brala je Polona, tehniciral pa 359.
Ne uđe.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you'll see what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.